Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to Hour Number 2 in the Doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And Martin Truex takes the checkers. And here comes Kyle Larson. What can I tell you? You guys know I love it. You know I'm a gearhead. It seems like it's the same every week right now. And joining us now, Jordan Bianchi, to try and pump us up or give us some hope. I don't know. I know one thing, Martinsville. I mean, we could just say Martinsville, you know. So maybe, you know, maybe that changes some things. Jordan Bianchi does a great job doing the best he can with this with the product they're giving us right now, covering NASCAR for SB Nation. He joins us now. Jordan, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I cannot wait for Martinsville. This is one of my favorite races of the year.
That was 11.6 seconds, by the way. I just dropped 11.6 seconds in there between Truex takes the flag and here comes Landon Castle. And, you know, just for the impact of just how spread out it was, you know what I mean? I mean, you get the 32nd lap or 32 to go, something like that, when Truex passes Busch. But, you know, after that, he just checks out.
Yeah, it was interesting because before that, it was really, I thought it was a pretty good race and it was competitive. And I know Truex dominated and led the most laps, but for the most part, you saw Truex and Kyle Busch run close together. Kyle Larson had an interesting day and was up there as well. But once Truex passed Busch, Busch's car just fell completely off the radar. They made the wrong adjustment on that last pit stop, and he just went backward, and Truex just coasted. So, yeah, the last 30 laps or so were not the most entertaining, but I thought it was okay up until then. But I am really looking forward to Martinsville because that is a classic NASCAR short track.
Kevin Harvick was trying to do something that hasn't been done in a long time, and it's only been done a few times, win three in a row. Was he – Yeah, you hate to see a guy, you know, wreck being overly aggressive maybe early on, but was he being a little too aggressive for that early in a race?
I think so. I mean, he kind of admitted it as much, and that juncture, you know, you don't need the race. He's racing Kyle Larson for third place, and Kyle Larson said Kevin Harvick's car was in another league of its own. If you're Kevin Harvick, you got to take a look at the big picture, which is, you know what, hey, we've got a chance to win here. Let's not do anything stupid. But he got caught up that it was coming down to the final laps in the first stage. He won the bonus points that go with finishing third, and he took his eye off the prize and ended up, you know, kind of crashing himself out. It's unfortunate, but it does show you that, you know, Kevin Harvick, though, is not a driver who is going to kind of back off. He's going to, you know, the opportunity is there. He's going to go for it. And I thought he had a really great answer, which was when someone asked him, you know, why were you racing so hard? You know, should you maybe have been smarter? And he goes, this is a race. This is what we do. So I respect that.
I do respect that as well. It's one of the reasons why I like him a lot. I just don't know what he was doing because it's not like he came down on him and he got clipped in the back. Larson was past him. I mean, you know, he had to see him there. Was he trying to, you know, the only thing you could say is it looks like he was trying to bump him.
Yeah, and look, they were racing really hard. And if you listen to radio communication, there was some animosity there in the laps building up to that. So you would think that, hey, wait a second here. Is Harvick trying to send a message to this young driver? What's going on here? Harvick says he was trying to side draft him and come down and try to get that air off the car. But like you said, I mean, Larson was there. I mean, it wasn't like he was coming or anything like that. He was there as clear as day.
He was passing
and Larson, almost. And Harvick just must not have seen him or didn't think he was there or misjudged it because it was a pretty egregious mistake.
It was interesting that, you know, for a pretty good whack, that Larson ends up second, so he was able to, it must not have damaged his car too much. And, you know, that's what you're looking for with Larson is that when do all of these close calls start to become, you know, wins for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got his moments. I mean, these mile-and-a-half tracks, he is so good. He, you know, he won at both Michigan races last year. He won at Fontana last year. And these seem to be his bread-and-butter tracks. And especially when these opportunities come around, Larson does still have this tendency to kind of let wins get away from him. And it happened numerous times last year. I know he won four races last year. But I can tell you off the top of my head, he lost four races that he probably should have won last year as well. And there's just this thing of he's got to learn how to close out a little bit better. And I will say it's a tendency that a lot of young drivers have is that they have to lose races before they can learn how to win them. And I think Larson is still in that process where he is very good at what he does. He's obviously competitive. He's the winner in this series, but he has certainly not maxed out his talent yet and his potential. And when he figures it all out and when he figures out how to be great at these end of these races, like you've seen Kevin Harvick and Jimmy Johnson do over and over again, I think he's going to be scary good.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you that he will be scary good. What about Harvick now going forward to Martinsville? How is he set up, you know, going there? Obviously, he owns these intermediate type tracks, but what's his outlook at Martinsville to start another streak?
It's, you know what, surprisingly, it's not good. I mean, Harvick has won there in the past, but he was with Richard Childress Racing. But since he's been with Stewart Haas Racing, it is actually, I would say, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to back this up, but I can tell you that it has been a track they have struggled at repeatedly. A couple years ago, he finished 20th in the playoff race there, and that cost him a shot at the championship. So this is not a place where they are great, where they go and they lead a lot of laps, and they just beat everybody up like we see them do so often. There are a lot of other drivers, whether it's Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski come to mind. Those are probably the three drivers who are really head and shoulders above everyone else there. Harvick and that team just have not quite figured it out yet. That doesn't mean he can't go there on Sunday and again win, but they do have some work to do considering where they have been the last few years.
Yeah. Jordan Bianchi with us, SB Nation, talking a little bit of NASCAR coming off of this last week's race. And talk to me about this deal with Jeffrey Earnhardt because, you know, he's obviously looking to kind of continue the legacy. He's Kerry's son, Dale's nephew, Dale Sr.'s grandson, and it hasn't seemed to resonate from him. I don't know if it's a talent thing or not getting in the right car type of deal, but he was running a car for Starcom Racing. It was presumed to be that this was going to be a full season type ride, and apparently they let him go. Is that the deal here? Because he's been a rim rider basically throughout. He was finished 11 laps behind Martin Truex on this past Sunday, and they've cut him free now.
Yeah, they cut him free, and it's an interesting deal. And where it's like you said, it seemed like that was an opportunity for Jeffrey Earnhardt. He has not really had a good consistent opportunity with a good team. And this was an opportunity to kind of get his foot in the door and kind of establish himself a little bit. That said, Starcom Racing is very much a new team. They are still growing, and they are not reached. They're not anywhere close to being competitive. So is that an Earnhardt problem, or is that a team issue? And it's hard to say. The finishes weren't there, and I mean, if you're a team like that, you want to get the best approach is to get a veteran driver in there and kind of get a feel for what you are, and that's what they're doing with Landon Castle. And with Earnhardt, it's another setback for him and really a career filled with it, where we don't know what his talent level is. We don't know if he's a guy who can win races and be competitive because he really hasn't been with a really good team to showcase what he can or cannot do. So it's a star-crossed career, and it's going to continue, but it does look like we're not going to have an Earnhardt in the Cup Series for a good while now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where chicken and egg, right? I mean, you just don't know. Does he suck, or does the teams he's been with suck? And if the teams he's been with suck, and if he's got talent, why isn't he, you know, why isn't somebody putting him in a car that has a, you know, a four-car deal or something like that? And I believe that's a Childress charter, isn't it, that Starcom is running?
Yeah, exactly. So they're guaranteed, you know, entry into every race. They don't have to worry about qualifying, and I know they have certain dollars that are coming in. So it is a team that has positioned itself to kind of grow here, but your chicken or the egg theory is a great way to look, or, you know, analogy is a great way to look at this. Is it the driver, is it the team? And I just think in these situations, it is so much more advantageous for a young team to have a veteran driver, and especially a guy like Landon Castle who can take care of his equipment and really give a good, honest assessment of where this team is at and what they need to do to get better.
Well, Friday, you got to go back before to a time when an Earnhardt wasn't in the starting lineup for a race.
it's been a while now. Dale Earnhardt Jr. missed some races in 2015, and I'm just trying to think out there. I think Jeffrey Earnhardt was running at that time, though, in the Cup Series, so there might have been a race or two there, but, you know, on a consistent week-to-week, you know, basis, we have, for the most part, have had an Earnhardt around for a good while now.
Yeah, let's say, you know, I mean, you know, that was out for injury, but there's been an Earnhardt as a regular runner since 1976, 75. Right? I mean, you'd have to go back, you know. No, you'd have to go back before that because I think Ralph still running when, you know what? There's a story idea for you. I think, you know, having a regular ride, I think that, I don't know if there was any overlap at all between Ralph and then Dale, but from Dale to Junior to these few races to start this season, it's got to be 35 years, 40 years, probably maybe 40, 41 years.
It's been a good while. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Sr. came into the Cup Series on a full-time basis in 79, won Rookie of the Year, won his first championship in 80. You know, Ralph Earnhardt was around for a good while before that. His, you know, he concentrated a lot on the sportsman division, but I know he did run in the premier division for a while, too, you know, at select events. So the Earnhardt name is certainly one of those names that is synonymous with NASCAR at a top level. And, you know, you don't want to say this, but it does seem like that maybe that family is not going to be able to carry on that legacy, at least for some time now.
So who's the points leader, Kevin Harvick or Martin Truex Jr.?
Martin Truex Jr. is because Harvick's got three wins, but his other two races he's finished 31st or worse. So it's kind of been either really, really good for Harvick or really bad. But, again, if you can get wins like he's doing and running as well, I'm not too worried about it. But Truex's consistency has been really good. He had a so-so race at Daytona like a lot of people did. But since then, I don't think he's finished any worse than fifth.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see, again, how to handle it, how it gets reshuffled, because Harvick has the most playoff points, but Truex has the most points, and, you know, Harvick has the most wins, so it's going to be interesting to see. Joey Logano's hanging around. He's off to a really good start. Are they getting close to winning a race?
I think so, and I think they're, you know, speaking of Logano and Brad Keselowski, two of the three guys from Team Penske, they have both been really solid this year. Not great, they're not out front leading a bunch of laps, but they're finishing well just about every week, finishing kind of right around fifth or so, and they're kind of in that category. And I would say right now at this early part of the season, it's Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., and then Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, who've kind of separated themselves a little bit from everyone else in terms of speed and consistency. Logano has been in this slump now going back to last year. He slumped. This year he looks much better. He does look like a guy, though, who is on the verge of breaking out and getting back to victory lane and just kind of putting that really awful 2017 season fully behind him.
Well, I'll go one step further and put Ryan Blaney, who's fifth in the points.
Yeah,
so Logano, Keselowski, and Blaney, the three Penske cars, are 3, 4, and 5 in the standings. And Logano's had four top tens, and the other two have had three top tens. And so obviously there's some good harmony in terms of what they're putting on the track because it seems to be, regardless of which one of those drivers is in a car, those Penske cars are all running in a pack. Those Penske Fords are running in a pack in the top five.
Absolutely. And then you talk about Kevin Harvick, who's in a Ford as well. It really looks like Ford has done their homework over the offseason. And this was a manufacturer that was kind of expected to struggle this season. I mean, we know Toyota's been really good. Chevy's got the new Camaro this year, and they were kind of supposed to up their game. And Ford, who's got this body style that's been around since 2013, was expected to kind of lag behind. But that hasn't been the case. I mean, obviously, Harvick's got his three wins, but like you just said, three Penske cars have been very consistent and very good. Harvick's teammates, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, and Kurt Busch have had their moments as well. This is a manufacturer that has a lot to be proud of for the early parts of the season, especially considering they were not supposed to be nearly as good as they are.
Jordan Bianchi with us, talking some NASCAR here from SB Nation. All right, since winning the Daytona 500 in a very, very popular win, putting that three in victory circle there, you know, there was a thought process that what happens next for Austin Dillon, and what's happened next is 14, 13, 17. So it feels like there is no, there was no momentum off of that, and maybe that feels like just a kind of a one-off, which is surprising because Austin Dillon was a one- or two-time champion in the Xfinity Series, and I thought he would be better than this at this point, but, you know, they don't seem to be able to be very competitive since that Daytona win, which now feels really kind of fluky.
It does feel fluky in a sense. If you go back and look at it, there was a lot of wrecks. There was a lot of big names that were taken out. And Austin Hill, let's be honest, took advantage of the circumstances around him. Now, kudos to him. You have to be able to do that and put yourself in a position. But we haven't seen this consistency and success that on other tracks. I've always liked Austin Dillon as a driver. I thought he had a lot of talent. He won a championship in the Xfinity Series. He won a championship in the Truck Series. And I think if you give him the right equipment, I think he can do a good job with it. You know, he had his moments. He's had flashes in the Cup Series where he's looked very competitive and looked like he was on the verge of a breakout. But I think it's a Richard Childress Racing problem overall. I mean, it's not like Ryan Newman's teammate is lighting the world on fire. It's not like RCR's other satellite organizations are all of a sudden these world beaters as well. It is kind of an organizational-wide issue, but I think we've seen with Dillon, if you can give him the right equipment and give him the opportunity to get things on the racetrack, he is a very aggressive driver who knows how to find speed, but you got to put him in those situations, and he just hasn't been in them too much.
And, of course, Bubba Wallace, so much made out,
yep,
you know, of him and the good run that he had at the, at the 500. What's your assessment of where he's been so far? Because there'll be a lot of attention on that car, this being the STP, 400 or 500 or whatever it is there at Martinsville, you gotta figure that that's going to be classic STP 43 car, for Bubba Wallace this weekend.
Oh, for sure, and they're already touting it a little bit on social media. You know, and looking at where Wallace's season at, it's basically what I expected, which is, you know, he had the great run in Daytona, but that's Daytona. Well, he's been pretty solid everywhere else. He's not lighting the world on fire, but you've got to look at the situation. And Richard Petty Motorsports is not a great team. They're a rebuilding organization. They're with a new manufacturer. They've got all sorts of new things they're working on over there. So this is very much a year transition. And Wallace finished 20th yesterday at Fontana, which is a pretty good result for a rookie driver in that situation. And they've had a couple other races where they've been better than they finished, and there's been some issues, and it's not Darrell Wallace's fault necessarily. It's just kind of whether it's been loose tires in pit road or they've had communication issues. I like the progression of where this team is at. They're not lighting the world on fire like they did at Daytona, but again, you kind of got to push that aside. And I think if you look at the circumstances of where Richard Petty Motorsports is at, I think Darrell Wallace Jr. has done a pretty solid job for him. And I will say this, they're going to a racetrack where Darrell Wallace Jr. has had a lot of success in the Truck Series. He's won races there before. I'm not saying he's going to go out and win this race this weekend, but there's every indication to believe that he can have a really good, solid weekend. And that's what you want from a rookie driver.
Yeah, that would be great, and that's what I was going to ask you or say, that a track like Martinsville puts a lot more emphasis on the driver, right? I mean, this isn't going to be just about the car and the setup and everything else. These are the drivers, so we're going to see him and how he handles that thing on a good old short track, and I think this will be a pretty good indication of where he and that team are at.
Absolutely, and I compare his performance to William Byron, the other rookie driver this year. William Byron's with Hendrick Motorsports. We know that is a juggernaut organization, and they're going through some things right now as well. But Darrell Wallace has outran most weeks William Byron, who has been highly touted. That's not a knock on William Byron. That's just to say, you know what, Darrell Wallace Jr. is holding his own, and he's doing so with a team that, you know, they're not the best.
Good point. All right, appreciate you as always, Jordan Bianchi, SB Nation, talking NASCAR. Thanks, Jordan.
Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll grab a break. When we come back, Stephen Gribben will join us. It was slow, but it was exciting at the Arnold Palmer Invitational yesterday. So as we continue to wrap up everything from off the weekend, let's get that thing. It's a big week of spring ball in the SEC, and we're going to have all four teams that are starting tomorrow covered over the next couple of days, including tomorrow with Alabama and Tennessee, and then Wednesday and or Thursday with Georgia and Mississippi State. So there's going to be a lot of conversation about that. But on Mondays, Reaction Monday, we like to go back and wrap up everything that went on over the weekend. Gribbs is next right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Come to the Humidor Pipe Shop this Friday, noon to 5, for great deals on Perdomo cigars. These are their most popular cigars, and every one of them will be on deal. Great deals and great swag, and of course those regular Humidor Pipe Shop fun times. Come on down and smoke one at the Perdomo Cigar Event this Friday, noon to 5, at the Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. That's the Humidor Pipe Shop, where, as always, you can smoke in the lounge.
Want to tell you about my friends at Madison RV Supercenter. If you're in the market for a fifth wheel, travel trailer, toy hauler, maybe a motorhome, Class A or Class C, Madison RV Supercenter has used and new inventory for you. The prices are second to none. You can finance it on site. You can rent RVs at Madison RV Supercenter. Trade yours in. Come check out the parts and service department as well. Go to MadisonRV.com or call 256-837-3883.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, "That's a good problem to have." Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, UMA Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an UMA mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. Visit UMA.com. That's OOMA. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
Developing thunderstorms are likely this afternoon and early tonight. The storms could be severe. Storms that form will be capable of producing large hail, damaging winds, and a few tornadoes. Be sure you can hear severe weather warnings. The high today, 75. Colder late tonight, the low, 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Brackets yet for the bracket challenge. Not that bracket. That bracket's all blown to hell for me. The 60 people that are behind me in our bracket challenge, you people should have your man cards ripped. That's what you ought to have. Because I got the worst bracket I've ever seen in my life. I mean, my bracket is so bad, I've never seen anything like it. So you people should have your... Now, you're all going to blow by me. I got Michigan State beating UNC in the championship game. I don't know what that championship game will be, but it's certainly not going to be this year's basketball championship game. But there's another bracket challenge, you know, and it's coming up in golf this week with the Dell Technologies bracket challenge. That's coming up this weekend. And it's a great field, minus Tiger Woods. Still a great, great field. But we'll get to that in a moment. Joining us now, Stephen Gribben joins us here on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Gribbs, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, T.A. How are you, bud? Are you better than the Virginia Cavaliers?
Oh, man. The Cavs. I had going out to Kentucky. I mean, what a mess. I mean, what an absolute, you know, godforsaken mess that bracket is right now.
It bodes the question, which makes for a great subject for you as we go through this week now and try, you know, come up with different segments for programming, is, you know, everybody always whines when it's the Dodgers and the Yankees. But all of a sudden, when it's not the Dodgers and the Yankees, we start whining about all these Cinderellas beating out the teams that should be there anyway. So,
well, that's an age old thing. It's always like, oh, everybody loves when George Mason wins or Valparaiso wins and they get to the Final Four. But then you got to watch those people play basketball. It's like, do you really want them? So normally this stuff all straightens itself out. I mean, look, they can get Villanova, Kentucky, Kansas or Duke and Michigan to the Final Four, and that's as blue as you want to get, really, you know, what's left. So there's still enough blue bloods left in this deal. It's just the way some of these games have gone and how some of these teams have gone down. It's just been a disaster.
Well, this is what has happened because of, in my opinion, before we get to golf, because of three things: the one and done, the three-point shot, and the ability of the youth organizations to start kids in a one-sport lifestyle at the age of 7 years old, which not one of those things do I agree with, but it's just the way of life in the basketball world.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the Palmer here. And first, before we get into Rory's win, I mean, this is just so exciting. We got Phil winning, we got Rory winning, we got Tiger pushing both of them every week, which is really good stuff. I think they just got off the course about 10 seconds ago. It used to be back in the day that, you know, it was Jack Nicklaus that took a lot of heat for slowing down golf. I mean, people used to play golf pretty quick, and then Jack Nicklaus standing over every shot for 10 minutes, and people think that he was the one that really slowed down golf. But it's gotten ridiculous now. Sergio Garcia thinks it's too slow.
Tommy, here's what bothers me, and as I told you in my text with you last night, what bothers me is two things. Number one, the fact that I work a sport that doesn't discuss when they find their players or what they do to retroactively take care of an issue. Mm-hmm. Which I so totally don't agree with. I think that that's totally wrong, and I think that the public has the right to know. Number two, and just as important, it's almost like at this point that the Golf Channel and NBC and CBS, it's like they are a part and parcel of the PGA Tour. One time during the event yesterday, did I hear Gary McCord at one point say, well, they're not on the clock yet, but they've been asked to speed up. That was the only time we heard it, even though these guys were a hole and a half behind for almost the entire round. And it is ludicrous, ludicrous for golf to be that slow when you are playing twosomes. It is wrong. It's unfair, and it's also what causes problems when we go out there and play, because all of a sudden the people we're playing with think they need to look at a shot from all four sides before they make the putt.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point, and that's why I say it goes back to Nicklaus originally. But right now it is what it is, and we don't know that they're not finding them. We don't, because they don't tell us anything. I mean, they might be finding these guys. Yeah.
But also, I just think it's a disservice on CBS's part to not go vocal. I mean, NBC's part to not go vocal about it. To literally talk about the fact that these guys have got to play golf in a manner with which we all play golf. Listen, if we hit a ball where Tiger Woods hit his ball, as Gary McCord said, was he getting hot dog for his mustard? We hit it so far right.
Right. Or is he getting mustard for his hot dog? If we hit it over there, it's we have no shot at a 10-foot putt for par because we are not going to be able to move our ball to get it back into a place where we can play it back. We play it where it lies. They get to move it because it's a man-made object. That's fine. I can live with that. They all play the same game. But let's be verbal about it. Let's be verbal about how slow these guys have gotten, and it's just – yesterday was the end for me. It really, really bothered me yesterday.
Well, we've heard stories of guys who will hit the ball intentionally into and behind a man-made object with the thought process of getting a drop that's going to get them a better look than what they would normally get, going a conventional route. If they're already over there, I'll go knock it over there behind that grandstand, then I'll get a drop over here, which is going to make – give me a better shot at the green.
Exactly. I mean, hey, how about Rory McIlroy at the U.S. Open?
Right. Yeah. No, it happened at the U.S. Open. There's no doubt. But speaking of Rory McIlroy, I mean, my goodness.
I mean, not Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth.
Spieth. It was Spieth that did it. Yeah, right.
It's Jordan that had that drop, yeah.
How about Rory yesterday?
Rory McIlroy, I turned to my son-in-law when they were on number 10. And I said, if Tiger doesn't win this thing because he's playing like Tiger plays, then Rory McIlroy already should be three shots ahead because he missed three putts on the front side. Think about this. He missed three putts on the front side that he would never normally miss. I mean, inside of 12 feet. And Tiger, to the same extent, he hits the stick with a chip shot where he never leaves the stick in the hole. And he circles out a eagle putt that he found in the heart.
Yeah. Well, he had, at one point in time, I got the text. I was on another assignment on Sunday, and I get the text. I look at my phone, and Tiger pulls within one, and I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had that on. But it was, Rory ends up with five birdies in the last six holes to finish.
Right.
And Tiger in a spot, in a course that allows you to make a move late, Tiger goes the opposite direction. What was more surprising, Rory with five birdies in six holes or Tiger with two bogeys on those, out of those last three holes?
Well, the answer is I don't concern myself with the second bogey because at that point he knew he couldn't win and he wasn't as depthful as he was. What he did at 16, I can't say it was a shocker because, listen, he's still coming back. I mean, this is not a guy who's been doing this all year. With each week, he's getting progressively further into the round to have a chance to win. And, I think there's no question he's going to win. I think that he realizes, he said it after the round, I wasn't thinking. He said, how dare I hit a driver on that hole? There is no way in the world I need to when I could have hit 3-wood, 8-iron.
What do you think of Bryson DeChambeau? I mean, I know he's doing the natural golf thing. He's doing a Mull Norman thing, and it's fascinating to watch. All his clubs are the same length and all that. But he bogeys the last hole, but he had that eagle on 16 that really put him in contention. A guy that was an amateur champion, a college champion. What do you think about this kid? Can you take that game and win a major?
Hard to say. I have a real issue with single length clubs when you get to majors because the rough is so dramatically different than it is during normal weeks on the PGA Tour. And so I think that makes it much more difficult for him when he misses a fairway. The shocker for me yesterday was not him. It was the fact that all of a sudden it was like night and day that Henrik Stenson just turned around and just all of a sudden died on himself and spat all over himself. He was coasting, and I'm not sure why it happened. I would love to be able to talk to he or his coach, and I will in the next couple of weeks. But that was shocking to see.
Yeah. My issue with DeChambeau is I wonder whether or not, the one place where the rough isn't an issue is Augusta, but you got to be able to shape the ball. And so everybody likes to hit the ball straight. I mean, no, it'd be a wonderful thing to be able to hit the ball straight. But really, there are so many times when you need to be able to shape the ball, and he doesn't shape the ball. He hits it straight, which is great, but, you got to be able to curve that thing a little bit once in a while.
Well,
But understand something. There are very, 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 and I'm saying you can count them on one hand, the number of guys that can legitimately shape golf shots more than 3 to 5 yards because of the nature of the golf ball. You know, and you start with a left-hander who's won Augusta twice, and from there it's a big step to even the next player who can shape a ball like he does. It's just the nature of the equipment and the golf ball. Most of these guys don't shape the ball. They don't hit it as straight as he does, but they don't shape the ball per se because, as I said, you're not going to shape a ball more than 3 to 5 yards, basically, with the way the equipment is today.
Stephen Gribben with us here, our PGA Tour insider. Tiger became the favorite at Augusta after the first round. Now, I don't know what it is right now. It might be Rory the favorite, but Dustin Johnson was the favorite. Should Tiger, from what we have seen, should he be, forget the favorite, but should he be in that top 5 or 6 guys that we're
Absolutely.
Talking about?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Tommy, you saw a guy, what was the number? When last I checked, was it 50-something putts inside of 9 feet, and he missed zero?
That's pretty impressive.
Know, he's playing. He made one bad chip in 4 days, and that was in those last two holes. And he hit one incredibly bad drive. You have to put him right there, just like I would have with Bay Hill, because it's a golf course that he knows blindfolded and knows so well. You know, Jason Day said it as well as anybody yesterday when he said, The reason these tournaments are getting more and more playoffs is because there are so many more players now. The younger guys have started to play these courses for the third and fourth time now, and so we have more guys capable of winning every single week. So that after at this point in the season, we've had as many playoffs as we had all of last year, as of March of this season.
Yeah. Well, I would think that maybe Augusta's got a little bit less of a premium on driving the ball than does the other four or the other three major tournaments.
It used to have no premium. Now since they redid the course the year that Zach Johnson won, there is a little bit more of a premium of making sure you hit the fairways, but still nothing to the same to the extent that of the U.S. Open or the U.S. Open or the other three majors.
I want to see him close. Well, you know what I mean? I want to see him close something out because I just wonder if he's good enough just on pure talent and memory to be in, on the leaderboard. But you know the difference between fifth and first. It's between the years. And then in that same thought, talk about Rory McIlroy. And what does this win mean? Is this a one-off or do we look at Rory McIlroy and say, uh-oh, here he comes. Now, maybe he's back in the mix and he's talking about putting down the bottle. And, that was a little bit of a sign that maybe there was a side of him that a lot of people didn't know. But, all of a sudden, he looks great.
Well, it wasn't a sign that we didn't know. I've told you for 4 years that Rory McIlroy was never going to be the next Tiger Woods, no matter what anybody said, because Tiger Woods was willing to give up everything in his life to be the best player of all time. Rory McIlroy was not going to give up his personal life to do that. He always wanted a personal life. And so consequently, when he says giving up the booze, I think what he's finally realizing, and he's getting closer and closer to 30, is that it's time for him to make the decision. If he wants to be noted as one of the great players of all time, that he's going to have to pay the price for that. And yeah. Paying the price for that is giving up some portions of your personal life. You don't know too many guys who did that. You can name Tiger Woods, and there are not many others. I mean, even Nicholas didn't give up his personal life. He was just that much better than everybody else that he could get away with going home after a tournament and taking care of the kids and the wife and everything else. You can't do that today and be the best player in the world.
All right, this Dell Technologies match play will take place not too far from you, Austin Country Club. First of all, what kind of a track is that? What do you know about that place?
It's an okay golf course. I don't know that much about it. I have not personally played it, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I personally don't have a lot of I think it's the wrong event to play this close to Augusta, but I understand why the World Golf Championships is doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I like it, though. I mean, I like the match play deal. I mean, I guess I've always been a fan of match play because I won a club championship in match play, and that is my, you know, that's my always been my favorite type of
golf. You and I both love match play. I love match play. Yeah. I just don't think you should be doing match play in the third week of March.
Yeah. Now, did they change it? Is it like a round robin, double elimination, or something like that now, or is it still straight up, you lose, you're out?
You know, I haven't looked at the rules. I was waiting until I saw it on TV tonight.
They don't have a bracket yet.
They're doing the pairings tonight.
Yeah, tonight's the bracket? Okay, because we don't have a bracket yet. And I'm like,
no, what they're doing,
I thought it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. You pick three balls. You pick a ball for the bracket. You pick a ball for your match, and then you pick another ball. I don't even know what the three balls are for, to be honest with you. I sound like an idiot. I'm sorry to your listeners for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just – it's obviously, it's a great field because it's a because it's a WGC deal. Although, who was it that just bailed on it that said they don't want to play in it because they don't like the match play?
I'm not sure. I haven't read that today.
Yeah, one of the top players isn't playing in this thing. He said, "I'm not."
Well, if I'm getting ready to play and try and win at Augusta, I don't play in this event either, because mm-hmm. I'm not flying to Austin, Texas, for the possibility of playing one or maybe two rounds, and then getting shut out, and then having to get back on a plane and go back to Florida or someplace else to go do my practice for Augusta.
Yeah, the biggest problem with this thing has always been you like to think that on the final weekend or on the weekend that you're going to get a final four of Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas and Jason Day or Jordan Spieth or John Rahm, but it never works out that way. You know what I mean? You'll get Cameron Smith and Chez Reavy, and then Ross Fisher is playing Kevin Na. You know what I mean? And it's like, who the hell wants to watch that?
Come on, that's all good golf, buddy.
Yeah, it's all good golf. All right. All right, man. Appreciate you as always. Good stuff.
Talk to you towards the end of the week. Bye-bye.
All right. By the way, speaking of the end of the week, Thursday and Friday will be out at 5 o'clock for the tournament. That tournament thing. Text message, Tony Mack is pulling one over on us. Which username is his master bracket?
I was actually scrolling through our bracket challenge thing, and did you notice one of the group names in there?
It was one of the group names in there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
one in particular. It had your
people in there. I mean,
it had your name on it. It said Tom's second bracket.
Oh, I saw Tom's second bracket. Yeah,
it's pretty fantastic.
Saying, hey, we're gonna do a. Everybody's bracket's busted. Your bracket's busted. You're going to do a Sweet 16, second chance bracket. There are no second chances. There are no second chances at this. I mean, you second chances are for life things. You get one shot to make this bracket out. One bracket, one shot. And if your bracket's torpedoed, your bracket's torpedoed. We're going to say, oh, little Johnny's bracket's destroyed. Let's do another bracket now. And no. No, you don't get to do that. I don't get to have a bracket where I can pick now from the Sweet 16 in and see how I do on that bracket. Who cares how you do on that bracket? When they make a tournament that's got 16 teams, then I'll pick a 16-team bracket.
Fair enough. And if you want me to say...
I'm a hard-ass about this, T-Mac. I am a hard-ass about
this. I understand that. I get
it. One bracket, one time in the tournament, not second-chance brackets. I'm not doing an Elite Eight bracket. I'm not going to do a bracket for the Final Four. We'll do a bracket and then do a bracket for the championship game just in case my team doesn't win. I'll pick both teams. I'll put a bracket in with both teams in the final game, in the championship game.
It's a bad day to go at the big dog about brackets. He's already in an iffy mood. So
I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to get in the bracket for the golf. I like the match play. They have 64 guys, T-Mac. I know you're part of the Great Unwashed on this. The match play championship is coming up this weekend in golf. And it's the top 64 players in the world. And tonight they draw the bracket. They have the bracket revealed. It's Selection Monday, kind of, on a golf channel. And they make up a bracket. And there's four, you know, regular four regions, and they're usually like the Nicholas, the Palmer, the Snead, you know what I mean, the Hagen, you know what I mean, or the Hogan. They name the brackets, they used to at least, I don't know if they do it now, they name the black brackets after somebody, and then they go out there, and they play like two rounds, two matches the first day, and two matches the second day, whatever it is, but it's a regular bracket deal, and in that, 16s beat ones more often than you think.
That sounds pretty. I doubt I'd be any good at that kind of deal. I like to watch golf, but I don't know if I could pick it correctly. I mean, I watch a lot of college basketball, and I'm not picking it correctly. So,
I don't even know what UMBC stands for.
Maryland Baltimore County.
Oh, Maryland Baltimore County. Is that a community college or what? What is that beat Virginia? What Virginia? What?
It just says it's University of Maryland Baltimore County. I don't know if it's community college. I didn't look it up. Other than
like
I did go to
your school. It might be like a 2-year trade school or something. Is that like a welding school? Maybe.
I'm going to set a couple things straight about the tournament. Number one, something we've talked about over and over again. It's going to shock you at first, but let me explain. I have two brackets. I have one main bracket, and the other one was the coin flip bracket we talked about. It doesn't go in any other competition. Me and my friends, we make a separate group called the coin flip group, and we just flip a coin, and that's how we pick a bracket. That's in its own deal. And then I made one bracket. I studied and made a bracket, and that's the one that's beaten, you know, however many other people, and apparently is surviving in like 35th place right now.
So, is that where you are, 35th?
Something like I'm in the 30s, 35th, 39th, something like that.
I think Arky's down with me, though, isn't he?
I'm honestly only checking after you in that group. I'm only worried about beating you because of the text message you sent me the other day.
Roped you in that text message.
You did. But,
and one of the triplets, is that the triplet brother? There's a triplet that has a good team going.
There's two. Kevin Triplet is not the one that does the Saturday morning show. He's the brother. He's the younger brother. He's in there. He's a good friend of ours. Aaron Triplet's the other one. He's screwed. he's done. Florida, I think, was in his final four. Virginia was his champion. He's done.
Kevin's in 25th.
Yeah, Kevin's
he's
not doing
with
bad.
Bama Zach and a bunch of other guys that are in 25th.
Yeah, I'm not doing bad. And the other thing I wanted to set straight with UMBC, right when the matchups came out, I mentioned to you on this show, I said it's so unfortunate that they have to play Virginia because of how incredible that their logo mascot is. You know, they're the Retrievers. I thought it was so awesome. So when they beat Virginia, I actually went to their bookstore and I ordered a shirt. I'm getting a UMBC
shirt.
Did
you really?
I absolutely did. $16.99? Yes, absolutely.
Let's get a break. We'll come back, finish up this hour of the show, and then Damon Amendola, top of the hour. Tom Abraham Show, 7:30, 103.9 AM.
7:30 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness. How about the legendary Retrievers of UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County? Now, be honest, you had never heard of UMBC before Friday night, but now you know them because they did what had never been done before in NCAA history. Yes, they lost on Sunday night and their tournament is over, and no, I don't care. The crazy thing is not that they lost to Kansas State. The crazy thing is that they had that game. They could have won that game. The crazy thing is UMBC is angry that they're not going to the Sweet 16. And why? Because of Friday night. For years I've been saying a 16 would eventually beat a number one. It was bound to happen. It was only a matter of time. But if it happened, I thought it would be a 16 hitting a last second shot to close it out and not a 16 beating down a one the way UMBC did. I'm Jim Rome.
Everyone loves NCAA March Madness. You know why? Because it's also time for Werner Ladder Madness. That's right. During Ladder Madness, you can find great deals on Werner ladders. Whether you're looking for a new lightweight multi-purpose ladder, work platform, or the podium used to cut down the nets, if you need a ladder, now is the time. March is Ladder Madness. So get your Werner now. Go to GetWerner.com to find the best Werner products for you. That's GetWerner.com. March is Ladder Madness.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just woke up to the news that your birthday was declared a national holiday.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today.
Restrictions apply. Active Gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Got an Amazon Echo Dot spotter show? Go ahead and enable the ump skill on your app or ask Alexa to do it for you. Shout, Alexa, play the ump. Then say, Alexa, volume up. Alexa, volume way up.
Weather is sponsored by KFC. KFC's $20 fill-ups will feed a family of four with eight pieces of delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, two sides of taters, and gravy coleslaw and four flaky biscuits for just $20. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Developing thunderstorms are likely this afternoon and early tonight. The storms could be severe. Storms that form will be capable of producing large hail, damaging winds, and a few tornadoes. Be sure you can hear severe weather warnings. The high today, 75. Colder late tonight, the low, 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
$143,325.
What's that?
The number of people that attended the weigh-ins or the outdoor expo, which was indoors,
wow,
at the Bassmaster Classic.
Wow, what was that? What was that like turning around and seeing that many people, hearing that many people?
It's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, it was. I mean, the arena was packed. The arena held 15,000. The arena was packed. And then Saturday was the only day I went over to the expo and made the rounds, and it was shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it was just jammed. I mean, it was just absolutely jammed. Comparing it to when the FLW Forest Wood Cup, which is their championship, was in Huntsville a couple of years ago, I mean, that was nothing. I'll be honest with you, it was nothing. I've been to Classics before last, but it's been a while. Last Classic I was at was in Birmingham. And they always do really well there, but the previous record was 137,700 in Shreveport, Louisiana in 2009. Last year in Houston, they drew 115,000, but 143,000, biggest attendance ever for a Classic. It was absolutely Incredible. All right, David Amendola is coming up. It's the Tom Abraham Show. You know what I'll do, T-Mac? I'm going to post. Can I do that? I think I can do this. I think I'll put a video up maybe on my Facebook page of what it was like, the final weigh-in. We'll be back. 7:31 through 9 a.m.
The Ump. WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on. Is on.
Our Wednesday driver spotlight features Eric Almirola. He drives the number 10 car for Stuart Haas Racing, a brand new ride for him. And I asked him how that whole deal came about with Tony Stewart.
So we've talked about it for a long time. Tony and I have been friends since I moved to North Carolina and started racing a late model for Joe Gibbs Racing. And we've built that friendship over the years. And so for the last, honestly, 3 or 4 years, we've talked about, trying to figure out a way to get me over there to Stuart Haas Racing. He's always expressed interest in wanting me to come over. And when he retired and got out of the 14 car, the timing wasn't right and things just didn't work out. This just happened to be perfect. There was an opportunity there with Danica retiring, and they they approached me and wanted me to come over and drive the 10 car, and obviously I was really excited about the opportunity, and so everything just kind of fell into place. All things lined up, and I'm a lucky man. I feel very blessed and fortunate to be over there at Stuart Haas Racing. They've got great people, great equipment. The cars are fast, and we're off to a good start this year so far, and I'm having a lot of fun.
And Eric racks up yet another strong run this past weekend at Phoenix. He finished 7th. You are on the final lap.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Okay, let's clear a few things up about secret clinical strength antiperspirant. Number one, it's not actually a secret. You can tell anyone about it. Two, it's clinically strong, which just means it's good at preventing sweat. Like, twice as good as regular antiperspirant. Three, strength is a cool word. You don't really see it a ton on women's deodorant packaging, so we were like, sure, let's shake things up. Four, sweating is the worst. 4.5, not sweating is great. So you should buy secret clinical strength antiperspirant.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Cole Kublik here to tell you about my friends at Valley Equipment Rental. You can check them out online at valleyequipmentrents.com. And with landscaping season just around the corner, if you're looking for an excavator, backhoe, trencher, skid steer, or more, check out Valley Equipment Rental, located right there on South Memorial Parkway, right there near Airport Road. All the equipment's online at valleyequipmentrents.com. Or give Ross and Tanner a call today at 256-964-6081. That's 256-964-6081 for Valley Equipment Rental.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. For Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call
800-8-WUMP Madison. W28OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The